You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Breaking Bad news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for Breaking Bad.
Hello, everyone.
Hey there.
You are listening to Breaking Bad Season 4, Episode 3, Open House for July 31st, 2011. I'm your host, Maria Menounos, along with...
John Comerford and...
Ed Bowling.
There we go.
We are the Breaking Bad crew, minus Kevin Undergaro.
Yes.
My other half, who is not feeling very well.
Right.
And we just finished watching the episode. Great episode. Mm-hmm. I'm still yearning for more action,
yes.
John. You know I'm not patient.
I know. Yeah, you don't like the setup.
Well, so. Maria, you just have to not watch at all. Like you said, you know, just wait till the end of the season.
Yeah.
Don't watch, and then you can watch it all.
If it wasn't for Breaking, if it wasn't for AfterBuzz, I would watch the season in its entirety in one weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Because I realize that's why I keep getting frustrated each week is because. Yeah. You know, you have to let things set up. Mm-hmm. There's such a patience to this show, as we've seen, that I don't match with.
Right.
And so what I realized is the first couple seasons I watched, you know, back to back. And if I wanted to see what was next, I'd watch the next
exactly.
one.
Exactly. So you got used to getting that nice payoff.
Instant
so quickly.
Gratification,
exactly.
which
yeah.
is, you know, what we're all about nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. But
this
next
is like
week
savoring a
good.
Fine wine. You get to really get it juicy, you know?
It's killing
I don't know.
Me.
I don't know. You still finished a bottle in one night. You might savor it.
You but. Guys just want to get drunk right away.
Oh, my God, yes. With Breaking Bad, I want to get wasted immediately.
Okay. That's it.
I need some Breaking Bad shots.
Oh, man, there's a funny analogy. Okay.
Well, let's get right to it. I want to start off with Skyler because when the show opens, it's really interesting because, you know, we haven't really delved into their relationship too much.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to. We're starting to see them almost kind of come together as a couple.
Exactly.
You're seeing that Bonnie and Clyde thing going now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just...
It's kind of like Us Against the World where they were fighting each other. Now we're not fighting each other. We're going to... work together to fight everybody out there. So,
well, we saw
a little romance starting too. They're having champagne, you know.
Well, I think it was the first time in a long time, maybe since I don't know season two, that we saw genuine concern from
she
Skyler.
Cares.
Right?
And did you see how Walt responded when she said when talking about the car wash owner, he was rude about you?
Yeah.
And that's the only thing Walt heard. His head turned and went, "What?" And then he later asked about, "What do you mean he was rude?"
Well,
about
if Kevin were here, he would point to the fact that that's his fatal flaw.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's
his thing.
Good
that
point.
Right. That keeps him, brings him right back deep into something.
Mm-hmm. So. Where it's funny, she's more business minded. It seems like he'll take things more personally. But I think you know, in this scene that we're actually looking at right now, she just shows genuine concern.
Yeah.
She cares for him. I also liked when you get to see Walt so quickly. Like first of all, he freaked out on her. But then he realized, I have to defuse the situation.
Yeah.
So he instantly defuses it, and it just shows that he's going to be put in any situation, he's going to be able to dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's really good at coming up with the story and defusing and making
especially
you feel
knows,
right.
And he especially knows how to get her to calm down. So that's, you know, he goes right into the... And I love the way he just changes the words. It's a complication.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was dangerous. He's just trying to, like you said, diffuse everything.
Yeah.
And notice he's still in the whole thing of the whole denial about that. I love that scene because then she asks, are you in any danger? He's a drug dealer for crying out. Is he in any danger?
No, he's not a drug dealer. He's a drug manufacturer.
I beg your pardon.
I had the same thing written in my notes. Your husband's a drug dealer.
No. This is a historical thing for her because she has consistently only that has been the question. When they get together and talk about things, she'll always want to clear the air. Well, first, are we in danger? Are you in danger? And then if he says no, which he's done like authoritatively before, he's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
It's definitely a pattern. But I'm going, seriously, how long have you been living with this and you're still asking that question?
I loved it.
Such denial about the whole. But I love that she's in denial about how much danger is right around them.
Well,
she's ignorant of it. She just doesn't understand.
I don't think she understands, but I think a part of her is really starting to get a high off of this.
Oh, yeah. I think they
just like he
clearly
did.
Clearly, they both were.
Think of like how many levels he went through to become, you know, what he's become.
Yeah.
I think that she's kind of getting like a taste of it and liking it herself. So,
I'm curious as to why she believes him when he tells the story about the bar, which we know is true. Okay, him the fight with the coworker.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
but he only hit me once, which is true.
Which is true
because
the other kicks, right? So,
so he.
But even that much truth, I'm surprised that she believes him at all. Like, why should she believe him? He's, you know, he always lied when she confronted him about stuff in the past,
right?
About the second phone, about everything.
Because I don't think she really cares that much.
I think she cares enough.
No,
and
she cares.
She doesn't care because she cares about him.
Yeah, but I have the reason.
She doesn't care about the reason because, A, he's convincing enough, and that's good enough.
I see what you're saying.
We're going to get the female perspective on that one right there.
I got no problem with that.
It's like you're dating like the basketball player. I'm not cheating on you. Oh, okay. Cool. Can I get that diamond ring? I saw it at the...
Well, actually, what you're saying is, well, then tell me a really good story about what you were doing with your time. Right? That's what she got. She
exactly.
got a good explanation.
Good enough.
Okay, that's
good.
And more than anything,
all
she really cared about was whether or not he was in danger in her mind. And I think that was solved for her. So the story she didn't really care about.
Exactly. But I also do think, like, how stupid.
I know.
You've got a child, and you really think that your husband being involved in drugs is not going to come bite you in the butt?
Well, that's why I'm going, how are you able to rationalize so much? I mean, are they so desperate for the money that therefore she's going to...
This is why I think that what's going to happen is we're going to see that they actually don't want to do this. They want out. This is part of the reason, part of the motivation is that they've got kids. They don't want to tell Junior, well, the reason, you know, we're making money because we're manufacturing and distributing
drugs. You say that and then they go buy a car wash.
Well, so, I know.
Why, if you want out, are you going to buy a car wash to launder your future
again,
money?
There's some fatal flaws going on, right? You know, Walt's fatal flaw is being enticed by the power and being the only guy that can do the formula. And then Skylar's might be what Kevin was saying, to prove her worthiness in this way. It could very well be.
I just don't know. I think it's really strange that we haven't seen a conversation go on between the two of them where... Mm-hmm. They've discussed that, because if that was the goal, there would be a discussion, just like the goal is to kill the chicken man.
Yeah.
And Jesse knows it and Walt knows it. And now even Mike knows it.
What's the goal? To get out?
To kill the chicken man. If the goal was to get out, there would be some conversation that would have taken
some
place
end game.
Between
we'll
Skylar and
we'll do this
and
for X amount of time and this is how I'm going to extricate ourselves from this life.
And there isn't.
Yeah.
So
and there hasn't
me,
been anything like that.
I don't think that's required. So. That's not required because.
But
also,
they're making plans together to stay in the business, but they're not making any plans to get out.
Listen, Skylar was pretty relieved when she said, "Well, let's just go to the police." There was a little relief going on there
when she was scared for his safety.
Yeah.
When she was not scared for her safety, it was over.
Yeah.
And I do think that they're both caught up in it all, and it's obviously not because she wants Gucci bags and diamond rings because. She's even scared he bought a $300 bottle of champagne.
But she's scared because they might get found out, not because of the price of it or anything.
Yeah.
Like that,
so. I think that it's been nice to be able to pay the bills.
Take care of her sister and her brother-in-law. There's a future there for her daughter.
Yeah.
So I'm and obviously her son, but I think that's what it's, you know.
Yeah.
They don't want to be in it, but they're not making plans to get out.
No.
All right.
The show would be over.
Exactly. Right. There'd be no show.
And then
there's no come up
at the end. She gets gangsta because here she is so scared. Like, how am I going to get this car washed? Yeah. Saul was hilarious in that scene, by the way.
Terrific as always.
What happened to his plans to leave the country? And why is he all of a sudden back like he's regular Saul Goodman, the attorney,
I don't know.
What happened?
Because he can't leave the country. I mean, he's Saul. Saul doesn't leave the country.
Too
I mean, he'll want to
rely
leave the
on him, Ed.
Exactly. He's the scorpion. He's just going to...
But it's funny because she...
Can't leave what you know.
I thought she was going to go gangsta with the car wash guy.
Oh, you thought he was going to do something?
Oh, I thought she was... I thought she what she meant by an attitude adjustment is, can you have somebody go like knock him out?
Break his knees or whatever?
You know, do a little something, something.
Yeah. No, no.
I didn't think that only because that's too much of a leap for her too quickly. I mean, you have to ease into
that kind of thing. Yeah, but if she really
kind of
needed something, this is a necessity for their livelihoods.
But it isn't because there are plenty of other car washes. There are salons. They had all those other opportunities. So
okay,
she doesn't need this one.
Good point.
She's
good
only
point.
Doing that because of him.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's willing to go after him because of how he was with her. But she still had her morals and her integrity.
I
don't want to break his knees. I don't want to do anything violent.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I fully
that's what
expected.
I think is great. Slowly, they keep chipping away at their little integrity.
Well, and she's going to be the yin to his yang.
Exactly.
I fully expected her to do an intellectual gangster on the dude.
Now, I thought Walt was. I thought they were. Because they did the whole thing with the gun last week. I thought Walt was going to step in.
Yes,
once he had
me
heard,
too.
Once he had heard
and
what
I thought
he said.
Maybe she was setting him up for that when she was like, oh, well, he just happened to say a few bad things about you, honey. You know what I mean?
That's a chick talking right there.
I thought for sure she was playing that game on him.
Nice manipulation.
Right?
You know what? But, if they had played it completely, he would have bought it.
Yeah.
He would have done something.
But I'm glad they didn't because it's much more fascinating to go this way.
So much more.
Much more fascinating. Harder choice. She uses her brain. She outdoes everybody. I mean, good stuff.
The thing that she wanted to happen happened. She said that to get the reaction from him because as soon as she said that, Walt said, no, okay, this is the car wash. We can't get enough.
Yeah. So at least so at that point, the discussions of other places were
not that's off the table.
Off the table.
We're getting this one.
Let's stay focused.
Exactly. And again, this is one of the, I think, a key moment because this is the first time they're really working together in this venture.
And he was present.
That's right.
Because he wasn't present before.
Until then, they've had to do the thing that they've had to do, but they haven't been doing it as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's been trying. She keeps calling him, right? Yeah. She's been calling him in previous episodes saying, Walt, we got to talk about this thing we're doing.
Well, yeah, he's a little preoccupied. Yeah. He's like,
but for me, this sets
the stage
for the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm next. I don't give a shit about.
It sets the stage for how they're going to be working together later.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big, big thing because what's going to happen down the line now that Hank has the lab notes and he's going to get involved, she's going to have to be involved in a way that's going to be really important and helpful to.
And one of the things I thought was really fascinating was when they were talking about the champagne, the way she was talking to him.
The devil's in the details.
Exactly. That's exactly the kinds of things that he would say to Jesse and the way he would say them to Jesse.
Good point.
So I thought that's very interesting.
And he was so frustrated
and
upset. Yeah. You're ruining my moment kind of vibe.
Yeah, the
I
whole
just
thing.
Want to have champagne.
He's being the Jesse.
Yes. Yes.
He's taking the Jesse role.
You're right.
Yes, it's very true.
Oh, how we regress.
Exactly. Well, you can see their trajectories. Walt is just continuing to go down that way. And Jesse, for all his craziness, I mean, you can see he's still redeemable. He's going through that craziness that he's dealing with. But he's still redeemable. I don't think Walt is going to make it back.
You know, I loved when Walt was like, this isn't an acceptable work environment or whatever.
Yeah,
the cameras.
Cameras.
I'm like, really?
Really? Yeah, exactly.
Really? Like, Big Brother isn't everywhere anyway. Like, I'm at my dressing room at NBC sometimes. I'm like, is there a camera in here? Like, there are
so
cameras
offended.
Everywhere, you know?
And he's so offended. How could you possibly?
Yeah.
He's killed. He's done all these things.
You're
How could you possibly put a chain
maker.
Of camera on me?
Well,
I have standards. I would never steal. I would never. What?
Yeah.
Dude, and Jesse's.
The same kind of denial that she has. Are you in any danger?
Jesse's response is classic. He's like, well, what you should do, Walt, is just get used to getting your ass beat.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't be
complaining about cameras.
Just numb yourself out.
Very interesting because Walt used to be the guy that always gave Jesse advice. Now Jesse's starting to give Walt advice. Now, granted, it's about getting your butt kicked, but. Again, I thought you're seeing those moments where they're changing trajectories.
Yeah.
Jesse's no longer this kid that he has to. You know, foster through.
Which, let's talk about Jesse because as I told you when we were driving on over here, I do feel like those scenes in his apartment or his house are a little overdone. Mm-hmm. I they were so violent and weird and
I definitely
couldn't handle one more. And I love graphic. I loved Gail's murder. I loved, Victor's murder. Like, I love graphic. I'm cool with that. But it was just strange. I just didn't feel comfortable with it.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, the one
which
I
is good because that's probably what they intended.
They want you to feel uncomfortable. But the scene that I liked with Jesse was the go-karts, and they had the camera on him, and
it was awesome.
Yeah, that I felt his inner turmoil. I thought that was a great metaphor they were using. But getting back to the houses and things like that, to me that didn't really move the needle forward. Mm. I wanted to see more progression in that storyline a little bit.
Well, what I noticed about when Jesse went home the first time was that, for example, he went to the car racing place
right.
before he went home.
Yeah.
And when he got in the house, he looked a little bit surprised that his chaotic, you know, creation was still going.
Yeah, I thought he was surprised people were there. Like, yeah. Oh, cool, people are here.
Yeah, but he was sort of like, okay, cool, this is what I need. You know, and he sat down and smoked a cigarette in the midst
exactly.
of all that.
Exactly.
But I kind of felt like, you know what, even though the go-kart scene was great, that he would have just gone home had he known that he had this wonderful chaos to go to
maybe,
wants.
Exactly.
You know?
But I thought it was interesting. He didn't really respond to the guy coming out of his house. Whatever
with
he was
the toaster,
carrying.
I know.
Like, what the hell?
Oh, he's not going to. He doesn't care. He wants it to be like all rat.
I love all that craziness is going on, and he just sits down and smokes a cigarette. Like you finally, you came home from a long day at work, and you finally get to sit down and relax. How do you relax in that? But for him, enough of that noise, so he doesn't hear the own noise coming within. Within.
Yes, I was going to say. Sorry, Maria. The other thing about it was that we saw things that felt dangerous to us. Right? When, like, people were fighting and there was blood, and there was
very strange.
People having sex and there was people doing drugs and all this stuff. That's really what I noticed also was when he went in, he had no sort of self-preservation. He didn't try to protect himself at all. He sat in the middle of it and he was exposed to all that. But this was dangerous stuff happening where we would have been like,
What's up?
Before you guys get any deeper into the conversation, we have Kevin Undergaro on the line with us.
Kevin,
bring him in.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Kevin.
We're very sorry for your recent turn to illness.
It's okay, as long as we have Breaking Bad, I'm fine.
John were just making a great point about the Jesse scene. Ed was saying that, you know, there was so much violence and so much, you know, blood and craziness going on in there, and you can finish your point, Ed.
Oh, just that, like, starting from the scene when the guy's walking out with Jesse's property, right? Who sees someone robbing their house and just walks in? You know, nobody. No, you stop. You call the police because you're scared, or you know you don't know what's going on. But of course, he wants to go in the midst of chaos and actually be in danger.
Yeah, he wants to be in danger.
He probably feels. I mean, maybe he won't kill himself or won't hurt himself, but he probably feels that's what he deserves.
Yeah, I think there's part of that.
But I think what that scene is really, it's now making sense to me. What they're setting up is that he's not afraid. Mm-hmm. Remember, he wasn't, you know, he was really uncomfortable in that scene where Victor was murdered, but not like Walt.
No,
not at all.
And so they're setting up that
Jesse leaned forward, Walt leaned back.
He's almost Teflon to it. It's not going to bother him. Anything can happen now, and he's just numb. It doesn't matter.
Right. Doesn't matter.
So that could be interesting.
Yep.
He's becoming desensitized.
Exactly. Yeah. I also think he's going to do increasingly more dangerous things until he gets his comeuppance. I think there's a part of him that thinks that knows he did some horrible thing, and he feels like he should be punished for it.
Or he will focus it, John,
to
further advance their business as we're seeing with Skyler.
I absolutely agree with you. I think he'll do that, but I think deep down, that's the only reason, because I said earlier that I think he's the only guy that can be redeemed out of this. I'm thinking at some point he's going to do exactly what you just said. He's going to focus his energies to help the business. He's going to do increasingly dangerous things and violent things, etc. But I think deep down he still knows that he did.
I agree.
He's the only guy that knows he did something wrong. Walt doesn't believe he does
something
wrong.
He's aware he's taking deeper steps into hell.
Exactly.
He's aware of it.
And
he's
Walt
aware
is not.
That, you know, that there are consequences. And where I think the point is that is like, you know what? I'm screwed, bro.
Yep.
And that's that.
Exactly.
But he is aware. And I
now,
think backing up a little bit,
hearing
you guys talk about Skyler and Walt, is that, remember we were talking about relationships today and just people just make bad decisions, one bad decision after another to fix, you know, what they think is going on. I don't think that they're trying to get out of this. I think that she... Initially, it's about getting Hank his money because she feels responsible for the things Walt has done. So they've got to pay their bills. But now, as she's getting deeper into it, we're mm-hmm. seeing, as I said weeks before, the sleeping giant within her.
Yeah.
That was never, that was, you know, this was a lady, I know I'm being repetitive, but this is a lady that was on eBay, bidding right. on things like yeah. like your typical right. housewife, and just doing those kind of mundane, very average things. And now, this is, we're seeing an extraordinary woman.
Right. A giant, yes.
But do you guys actually think that mm-hmm. Walt and Skyler are in their minds, like, just settling, getting into the groove of, okay, we're going to be career drug manufacturing, money laundering,
quick escape. Not thinking that far ahead. It's yeah. one bad decision yeah, exactly. after yeah. another.
That's
okay, we're screwed. We got to pay for the brother-in-law's bill.
Come on.
Okay, but, now we're going to do this.
But does and she know just, that he was
deeper,
responsible
deeper
for that?
Steps into hell.
Yeah.
But what John's saying is Jesse's aware and they're not.
Exactly.
But what you're seeing is you're seeing a partner that is every bit as worthy of Walt's love in the respect that of where you saw the past wife that he could have been with.
Right.
You're seeing now she is stepping up. Now, granted, it's like most of, quote, criminal geniuses. Well, how many times do we say if they put that energy into something constructive, exactly. where would they be? But anyway, that's not to back up. That's what I yeah. make of their relationship.
Yeah, I don't at all think that they're making conscious decisions to get deeper into this. I do think that they're making. First of all, I think she's very pragmatic. I think this is the card I've been dealt. Okay, fine. How do I make
yep.
this work? And I think that's how they get slowly seduced into this. Because what else can I do?
Exactly.
And then they start to see that, well, okay, we got away with that. I don't think they even make that consciously.
Yeah.
I think they go, what do we have to do next? The next thing we have to do is yep. cover our tracks. Okay, cover our
hey,
tracks.
Guys, and then the next. Does this happen in life?
Exactly.
Now, granted, not with drug deals, but how many times? It's like, okay, now I got her pregnant. All right, well, let's just get together. Okay, yeah. Well, now, you know what? Maybe things will get better if we have another kid. I mean,
Walt's
you know,
been doing the same thing.
We're talking about this today. People just make.
That's right, because
as soon as Walt was
diagnosed with cancer, he didn't have any kind of long-range goal. All he said was, I have to take care of my family. What's the quickest way I can do it? There. And then every
right.
decision then, it really hasn't been – he
it's
hasn't
a domino
been playing
effect.
Chess. He
yeah.
hasn't been playing 10 steps ahead. Occasionally, he'll try to get ahead. But there's no end game. He has not figured out that in 5 years, this is where we should be. There's nothing like
but
that.
I don't
on.
Remember. Does Skyler know that Walt had something to do with Hank's – injuries?
She confronted Walt back when Hank was in the hospital and came to him and basically spoke in, you know, and ambiguously and said, listen, I somehow I feel like you had something to do with this.
Yeah.
I remember.
I think she knows. That's one of those, like you're always mentioning, secrets. That's one of those secrets I think she knows, but yeah. they have not talked
confirm.
About.
He didn't confirm.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty sure.
I mean, it's.
I don't know. I hear you guys saying all this about bad decisions, blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, man, I don't like the fact that they did the whole Bonnie and Clyde thing and they got together, because that goes against my theory in that yeah. they're like so intent. Because you buy a car wash, you're not doing it for 90 days.
Exactly.
No, they're doing that for the long term, right?
That's what we've been doing.
I'm admitting that it doesn't go along with my theory. I don't like it. But you guys can't have. Burn the candle both ends and say, oh, well, they're only thinking a month ahead or only they're not thinking far ahead. No, they're thinking something. This what? I don't know.
Here's the thing. They are not thinking this is something they want to do forever, but they're also not thinking, hey, let's get out of this right now.
Yeah.
The theory is, exactly, very different theories. The theory is that
was
they
Kevin
are just
the dishes?
Going one. I know. Honey, what are you doing in there? Hopefully,
is he cooking meth?
Listen, they're thinking. She's thinking of the brother-in-law bills.
Yeah.
She's thinking of her kid.
And then the domino effect.
She's
just
getting
like
deeper
thing,
in. It happens.
One thing triggers another. The other thing that was interesting in this episode, and they devoted a lot of time to it, was Marie going back to her old ways. Which,
yes.
you know, when the first scene popped up, I thought because there was someone on the couch, and
yeah.
I could tell, I was like, is she putting him in a home?
Yeah.
I thought she was putting Hank in a home, but I didn't realize she was, you know, back to her old tricks. Yep.
You know, now I know, and I know it's all rehearsed lines and everything, but she is so creepily good.
So good.
Because you feel like she's actually making up the lines, which she's supposed to, we're supposed to feel that way.
Yeah.
And we know it's pre-written, but it's still, she did so good at making us think that she's just like this compulsive, on the spot liar, making the story up as she goes.
That's great.
Well, that's what the whole, this whole show is about, lying and diffusing.
Everybody in denial
about it's interesting.
Something.
Because I would normally get really annoyed having to go to a subplot like that, because I'm like, give me the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
But she was so great.
Yeah.
And it was so well done that I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed that character because she's annoyed me in the past.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought she was really cool. And I love the realtor totally catching her in the act.
Yeah, that
was
nice.
Yeah.
And she's... I love, you know, all these people. Oh, and I've known so many thieves in my life. They always have such a strong offense
of course,
for
a
defense. And it's like, you are in big trouble. Let me not swear right now. You just stole. You stole. Yeah. But they are in such denial.
Do we know? That's their game.
Oh, my God. You know? It's amazing.
See it all the time.
You always want to put them on the defensive.
What I thought was interesting was to see in the moment that Hank, of course, deep down, really does love her.
Yeah.
Because you would have thought when he got the call that she'd been shoplifting or whatever, you know, stealing and doing those crazy shit, he did fly off the handle, but you would have thought that would have been it. Like, and then you saw him finally drop his guard, go back to the old Hank.
He also needs her.
And, I was going to say, I didn't think that at all. I saw him be angry.
Yeah.
And then I felt like the only reason that he retreated and was like, okay, stop crying, was because he needed to go make the call and get his helper back. I didn't feel like he went back on that.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm
with Kevin. I think he does. I'm with Kevin.
The elevator, and they cried together when he got his badge taken away. Oh, he loves her deep down. He's responsible.
I agree with him. I see what you're saying, Ed, because I normally would go to that, and that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
But the reality is you always take it out on the ones you love, and how many times have we seen these situations where someone's just so distraught, so desperate, so down in the dumps that they just beat up the person that they love? I've seen it done far too many times.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm sorry.
I'm guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
I agree that Hank really loves her. I just didn't think that that's what took place in that moment.
Oh, you didn't. I didn't.
It could have been a combination.
Yeah, I didn't think that. That's what.
He definitely needs her. And the lies are interesting because as she would lie and lie and lie, I realized she's obviously pretending to be these other people to escape her shitty life.
Exactly. She hates her own life, so she lives somewhere else. In another
I mean, acting would be a great job for her.
Yeah.
Right?
Terrific.
If they had...
I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest off the air.
Okay,
Kevin.
Thanks, caller.
Thanks for calling, Kevin.
Thank you,
caller. Hope you feel better.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, thanks.
I was going to say, if they had, because with the spoon... Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the wall, and then she referenced the Puerto Rico spoon.
Right.
If they had actually indicated to us that that was the spoon that she took, which maybe it was, I don't know, they didn't ever tell us, then I would have thought that, okay, she's trying to get caught. Because if she gets to go to jail, she doesn't have to go home to Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's kind of why I thought that she broke down, was crying. She didn't want to go home.
She didn't want to go
home. Right?
Yeah,
it's time to go home.
What's there to go home to? I mean, especially at this time where they are. I mean, it's...
Cheetos! I said Cheetos! Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha!
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what she goes
home to. But even though that wasn't, we didn't see if it was the Puerto Rican spoon or not, she does want to get caught.
Yeah.
See, why would she steal the one right in the middle? Why not the one on the bottom end?
Exactly.
Because
my point.
Your eye wouldn't notice
that?
It.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess that's enough, really, to indicate that she wanted to get caught.
That was exactly the point.
And who steals a picture, right? Like, she's not going to notice that.
Well, the frame was really
it's
nice. Really,
yeah, but it's not even about the picture. She's classically, she'll keep doing it until she really gets nailed for it.
Unbelievable. Well, I the other thing I love about the show is how they weave everything in. So it's like the noise of one machine blends into the noise of the vacuum.
Yeah, that was nice.
And the same thing with this. It went from, you know, Hank calling up, you know, asking for a solid to, you know, get his wife off the hook. And then same guy comes into the scene now.
Right.
What an interesting dynamic. Is he there to kind of get Hank in the mix so that he's not as nasty to her? Is he trying to help a little bit at home in that way, or is he really coming there for advice?
I think he's really coming for advice. The other part, if it happens, great. He's happy about it, but I don't think it's not in the forefront.
Yeah, this is obviously a guy that Hank, in his rise to the DEA, must have, maybe he was a cop or something.
Yeah.
Because he called in, like you said, called in for a solid, called a friend.
Yeah. Right.
And then the guy came in, and so he was even able to say, hey, Hank, I need you to look at this and not let it become a DEA thing.
Yeah, that's that's the big thing right
there. So they were friends talking there, and that's why. But I was shocked that Hank didn't jump at the thing.
Yeah.
But
that's how pathetic he feels.
Yeah,
right?
But I've seen stuff before, like with people, they're just like, they're so in their zone of like anger and depression and self-pity that they don't.
They can't even see a lifeline being thrown to them.
Yeah. And they can't see that they'd even be useful because they're so
He's in it too deep.
Self-loathing.
But he was able to see it eventually, mostly because he's bored out of his mind, probably.
Yeah.
He's watching the C-SPAN. Yeah.
I still think that those minerals that he's studying, somehow that's going to give him some kind of insight. I mean, he's obsessing over that stuff. Something's going to, I don't know.
And how cool when he's reading the lab notes.
Okay, but did you
lit him up with the blue?
Yeah, that was neat.
Right, for the blue meth? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You didn't see that one, huh?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that was there. So, but, I remember hearing Vince Gilligan say that why minerals? And he went, I don't know, it was just the thing I picked at the time.
Yeah, I know.
So if there is a connection, he probably didn't have one in the beginning, or maybe it was a subconscious decision.
Maybe
that Vince
he'll
Gilligan
listen
made.
To this and he'll have.
That's right. He may tie it in later because they go, hey, because a lot of times when you're writing, you know, you don't know why you put certain things in. And then when you get later on in the script, you need an answer. And for me, almost always the answer is already in the script.
But see, like, why not coins? People collect coins. Or why not, you know, stamps?
That's a good question.
Minerals? And in the context of this show, we're like. That would obviously mean something.
To me, you know, it's an obvious, not an obvious choice, but you'd think it fits.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's, is it a New Mexico thing? Is there something?
I don't know. He said, I don't know. It's what I picked. He didn't let on that there was any other reason than it was just.
Well, okay. So speaking of that, that's a reference to the AMC TV Breaking Bad Insider podcast that happens after every episode.
Is it good?
It is very good. And one of the main reasons why it's good is because Bryan Cranston's there talking.
Nice.
Vince Gilligan's there talking. The editors are there talking. The writer of the episode is there talking. So it's like ridiculously valuable inside information. And they say all these things. They talk about past episodes, talk about, you know, upcoming stuff.
There's a lot of stuff on there. I went on there for the first time today and I was overwhelmed. I was reading blogs and watching footage from last week.
Yeah, you can play video games.
But this is better, right? So they should be listening here.
This is
right?
way better.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
This is way better.
But for example, to defend my own reading into stuff like the minerals, when you guys were breaking down the coloring of the floor, in the episode, in the last one, no, when they did
the premiere this week?
Box Cutter,
right?
The podcast from that Vince Gilligan, when he was talking about it, he said that, you know, and if he had known that they were going to have red blood running on the floor, that he would have made the floor and the walls in the lab some different color. And, you know, but you guys had broken down that the fact that the red and it being underground was a symbol of hell and stuff, which is still totally, you know, true because whoever had a hand in that production design could have been thinking that. Didn't share it with Vince.
Right.
Right. Like he didn't choose that and he would have changed it you know, in his mind. So
that all works out.
All right. Well, let's go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll talk some news and gossip.
Nice.
Already commercial. Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give
us a call. 424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
29. It's television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
All right, we are back with Breaking Bad. I love that song.
Really good.
I know, Ed, you were saying when we went to commercial, like, it was hilarious at the end of the show. We're like, both of us, that's it?
Yeah.
And
the show,
like,
ended.
Well, yes. And we're just like.
I said, they're running a marathon. You guys want a sprint.
Yeah. Well, we needed some action at the end.
Some
kind of, you know. Was there even like a cliffhanger? Except, him reading the.
Him reading the lab.
Well, we knew
they're
that
just
was
what's going to be happening.
But the new Victor.
Yeah, the new Victor was watching.
Yes. He was creepy.
Because, how bad is Jesse going to get? You got that because, it's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And who knows where that's going to end up. You still have the whole thing about, which I thought was interesting. They barely, they didn't even really touch on Walt and Gus at all this episode.
That's what I was
so
going to complain about.
See it in the next
episode. That's right.
Next episode looks bad.
Yeah.
Well, I just, I don't know that Walt would go that long without, thinking about it. Remember, his whole thing, second episode, was he was focused and practicing and preparing and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, to have a whole episode of nothing, nothing revealed about him continuing his plans, I was disappointed with that.
And how nerve-wracking Mike and Gus are sitting in the room together, and it's like, does Mike say something?
Well, and he starts to say how, because they've obviously been following Walt, and he what does he say to Gus in the preview for next week? He says something about how his behavior is erratic, or he's making more and more dangerous decisions, or something like that. He says something, and then Mike says something needs to be done.
Oh, I know. Scary.
There you go.
I can't wait for next Sunday.
Okay.
It's going to be amazing. All right,
so
Jesse.
Actually, before we go to news and gossip, I have a caller on the line who is eager to speak to you guys.
All right.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your name and where are you from?
It's the steamer.
Hey, what's up?
How much?
How are you?
Pretty good. I actually enjoyed this episode.
Okay, tell us. Tell us your thoughts.
It's like my problem with the show is how. Let me call right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're waiting for that.
All having right, so, a bad connection. Maybe we'll go to news and gossip.
We'll go,
AfterBuzz TV News.
So Bryan Cranston is currently celebrating his 22nd wedding anniversary with actress Robin Dearden, saying, "I do believe in marriage counseling. In fact, my wife and I started going to a marriage counselor when we were still dating."
Wow.
He continued on to say, "Men and women think so differently, and instead of assuming what your partner is saying or letting it fester or something, you should let it all out. I think in all the times we've gone, we've become closer right after. We've had a great experience."
I just got the chills. That's so cute. Look.
Because he goes to counseling?
It's romantic.
Counseling
is romantic. It's also cold in here.
All right.
See? Men and women think so differently.
See?
What else you got, Jess? Anything?
So Cranston is also in talks to do battle with Colin Farrell in the upcoming remake of Arnold Schwarzenegger's action epic Total Recall.
Right. Yeah.
I heard that's a done deal. Sorry, Jess.
It is a done deal?
We think so.
Underworld director Len Wiseman is taking charge of the reboot, and he wants Cranston to take on key role as villain Vilos Cohagen, with Farrell stepping into Schwarzenegger's shoes. Production is expected to start in Toronto, Canada, in May.
It's surprising
that they're already going to make a remake of Total Recall.
Well, yeah, they call them reboots now. Well, like Spider-Man has been rebooted, and the Hulk was rebooted. Reboots.
But you know that they were rebooting that for Arnold specifically, and now that everything went down, they've already gone so far down the line that they're
they have to bring.
They have to move forward with it.
I don't. Why are they rebooting these movies? Make a new movie. This thing, come on.
Oh, the studios don't want to do that right now.
No. Jesse. Whatever. On that sad note.
On that sad note. In a recent interview, actress Betsy Brin, who plays Marie, was asked where she would take her character if she had total creative control. Brandt explained, "I would keep her in purple. I throw this out there frequently, but pretty much every year I ask Vince Gilligan for Marie to get a gun and have really good aim. I would love to see her get in on the action, but I love being surprised by the writers. At the end of the show, I really just want all of them to have their journey, whatever that is."
That's cool. I said today, what's up with all the purple?
That's her favorite color.
Because she wants to be a princess, I think. Yeah. I was saying that, you know, purple's the color of royalty, and John goes, she wants to be a princess, and I think you're right.
Is this the character's favorite color or the actress's favorite color?
I think it's the character's favorite color, and, you know, who knows? Maybe the actress's too. I don't know. Or maybe it's the, you know, designer's.
We'll have to look back at red carpet pictures and see if she wears purple in real life.
All right, well, that's your Breaking Bad news and gossip for the week of July 31st, 2011.
Thank you very much.
As you guys get into predictions, we do have the steamer on the line.
All right, well, we'll have the steamer give us his prediction after he gives us his quick recap.
Yeah.
Steamer.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right. Last time I had echo, so I couldn't hear you guys.
Okay.
And anyway, I was saying that my problem with the show is, like, the lack of character development on everybody besides Walt. Like, when they killed Victor, like, did you really care about Victor? Or did you care about the fact you killed so violently? Like, you had no reason to give a crap about that guy.
Yeah.
And now, like, they have the new replacement. They at least looks like they slowly might be building him up. Like, they have him watching over, like, Jesse and stuff like that. So,
do you mean to suggest that there's been no character buildup of Jesse?
No. Like, the Victor. And then there's the new guy. Like, you see him watching over, like, Jesse's apartment?
Right.
Like, that was the guy. I think he was on last week.
He was.
The new guy in the warehouse measuring the meth.
So you'd like to see more character buildup of these ancillary characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you like Marie?
What was that?
Did you like Marie's storyline this episode?
Yep. Yeah, it was about time to do something with her. I mean, I initially thought when they went back, like the stealing, like, you're just going to be, like, ongoing. But the fact that they nipped down the bud and they gave her a reason for doing it and they killed it off based on this one episode, I thought it was pretty good use of it.
I know I turned you on to Breaking Bad via Twitter. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, definitely enjoying it.
Okay.
Have you already watched previous seasons?
Yeah, I wanted to watch everything before I started watching this episode.
Got it.
Excellent.
I found out about, whatever it is, 35 episodes in 13 days.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, do you have any predictions for next week? Because we're about to go into our prediction segment.
I'm not too sure about next week, but I think eventually it's leading to Walt eventually killing Gus and then moving on, because there's something going on with the cartel. I just don't know what yet.
So do you think that Walt will want to step in for Gus's shoes and be the guy?
I think eventually that's his goal. Like, last season when Gus killed off the cartel, like, Walt was talking about, like, giving, like, his input on, that's exactly what I would have done. So I think that's the fact he's looking at from that analytical perspective leads me to believe that eventually he wants to do that.
Yeah. Okay, I have a prediction now. I just got one from that talk.
Steamer, Ed still thinks that he just wants to get out of this.
Here comes Ed.
No, there's no chance he wants to get out.
He wants to get out.
See?
It's
See?
Just a matter of how and when.
If anything, it's going to be Jesse who gets out of it. Like,
good point.
If just come back to start the series and Walt with the clean-cut guys, at the end, it's going to be the opposite.
I agree.
He's going to take that minute's protection, and he's going to move on. But Walt's... He's in. He's gonna live or die by this. That's the way it's gonna end.
I love it.
I don't know.
It's eventually gonna come down to him. Right. Him and Hank, like, shooting it out somewhere.
Right. I either think that Jesse's going to find his way out and he's the only one that's going to be redeemed, or I think that Walt is going to end up killing Jesse.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
No way. But I will say this. My prediction is that, and this for the season or the show, whatever.
I would die.
Walt is not going to kill Gus.
No, he'll get somebody to do it.
Well, Gus is not going to get killed.
I think he is.
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think Ed's right.
Nope.
Even, as much as I want him to kill Gus, I'm kind of thinking that's a real lofty dream.
No, but here's what I think.
Especially where he's never going to really get to see
him necessarily.
Gus. Necessarily.
But I think
Mike might kill Gus.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is he's going to want to step in and take Gus's place. And I think, no. You kill Gus, but then you just created a vacuum where a bigger devil, a worse devil, is going to want to step in to take that territory. And now he's going to have to deal with that guy.
But then there's the whole Gus runs, Pollos Hermanos. And
yeah, he does, but it's a much...
You know, he runs the laundry mat, you know, or whatever whatever the cleaning thing is. So it's like he needs Gus. He needs Gus. He wants to kill Gus because that's goes along with his sort of short-sightedness right now.
Exactly, yeah. He's going to kill Gus so he doesn't get killed himself.
He sees that dramatic thing done before him, and he's expecting that, okay, Gus wants to kill me.
Yeah, he can't kill Gus because Gus has all the relationships that he doesn't have to sell.
He's got the product. He doesn't need the relationships.
Yeah, but I could have
case of meth
in my
closet,
but I don't know anybody that buys drugs, so who am I going to sell it to?
That he can go out and sell it. He's already done that.
That didn't work out that well, remember.
Yeah, but neither is this. I mean, he almost got killed. So, I mean, neither way is working out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that I think he doesn't think it through. I think he's willing to kill this guy.
He doesn't. He's irrational.
And I'll take over and it should be easy. That's what I think he thinks.
Beamer, what do you think?
Then I can get out.
I think Mike would have the connection by now at this point as well. Like, it's not just Gus who has all this influence. Like, Mike seems to be there with them like every step of the way. So why wouldn't he like know about these connections or all that? And Walt's smart enough where, last time it failed, he was very, very new to it. But now like he's trying to learn from like what Gus is doing, like seeing all Gus's moves. And I think that's the way it's going to go. Eventually he will kill Walt, we'll call it Gus. Mm-hmm. Who cares about like the chicken place? So like the laundromat will still be there.
Okay.
They'll still be making their mess, and then they'll go from there.
I figured out.
Interesting. Well, okay. I, for one, am dying for next week's episode because I know next week's episode is going to be so juicy for the impatient Menounos.
It
excited.
It looks like it's chock full. I was looking at it thinking, okay, they can't put all that in one episode.
Yeah.
All the stuff we saw, that's way too much.
Which is exciting.
But, yeah, maybe they will.
All right. Okay. Steamer, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to everyone who tuned in to tonight's episode of Breaking Bad. We hope you'll join us next week. Same time, same place. And like I said, it's going to be even juicier, so we're going to have an even more exciting session. So, Ed, John, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait for Gail to come back.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.